What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here on Nagler's Never Right. Welcome back. It's PackersNews.com, and boy, do I have a treat for you guys today. He writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's all over the Packers beat. You read his stuff each and every day, both at PackersNews.com and in the paper. It's Ryan Wood. Ryan, how the hell are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for letting me on your podcast, man.
Oh, man. It's a rarefied air that you're in here, you know? I mean, I think my last guest was Brady Papinga, so you have a lot to live up to.
I don't know. I don't know if I can live up to that.
Well, I don't know if you can bring
if
you can bring the crazy like Brady, you should be all right. So obviously the Packers are a couple weeks into camp now, and they're on the eve of their first, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, they're on the eve of their first preseason game. I'll just throw this out here in a general sense so you can take it wherever you want, but what in particular are you looking for tomorrow night? Because, I mean, I think everybody comes into these preseason contests knowing that they don't mean a whole heck of a lot in the win-loss column, obviously. But there are things that you kind of go in expecting to see and or scrutinize. And what is on that list for Ryan Wood?
I think overall it's the next progression and the position battles that camp really opened with. And where we're at right now, I think you would agree, after watching all these practice reps, I mean, we just got to see a game. I mean, we need to see it live, real snaps against someone else. So, I mean, quarterback, who emerges there, receiver, especially the young guys. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if Jake Kumerow can – two things. One, if he can transfer what he's done in practice to a game, especially when he's not with Aaron Rodgers, who obviously won't be playing Thursday. And two, can he get some special team reps? Because you can catch all the passes you want in August, but if you're a fringe receiver, a fringe roster guy like Jake Kumerow is, you better be playing special teams. And he just hasn't – played much special teams, so I think that'll be really interesting to see if he gets on some teams units. Defensive side, I wrote about it today, but how Josh Jackson can continue to put his education in terms of the new contact rules that he's under, and not really, it's a point of emphasis in the NFL in a way that it's not in college. Not that the rule is different, but
right. It's
just, it's a new reality for him. He's got to learn how to play kind of like
he's,
a basketball player guarding the dribble.
He's awfully
handsy.
Yeah, he's awfully handsy, right? I mean, that is kind of the book on him coming out, and you've seen that play out these first couple weeks. But I will say, it's interesting. I mean, Tom's piece at PackersNews.com about Josh, I think he led with the camp report with it. You know, he's getting a few more snaps. They're playing in the slot, which was a real surprise. And he has a chance now with both Alexander and King nicked up to kind of maybe take a step. You know, this is how guys end up getting playing time or getting starting jobs because, you know, guys are out for a few days because of injuries and guys get an opportunity and they make the most of it.
Yeah, I still think it's really odd that he's playing so much in the slot. I don't know how you feel, but I wonder if eventually we'll see him more and more get back to the perimeter. You know,
I think
with the injuries.
Right. And especially if you listen to what Mike Pettine said on Tuesday when he was talking about cross-training guys and how they've been mixing and matching a lot throughout this early part of camp. But he did say, as we get closer to the start of the regular season, you'll see a lot of that fade away and guys will start kind of concentrating on their particular kind of, you know, main focus, which I think, as you state, for Josh Jackson, it's got to be outside. I'm like you. I'm surprised he's been playing so much inside.
You know what also is going to be interesting? How does Josh Jones look?
Yeah,
because
he's been up and down, real up and down.
And we talk about how this is a big camp for the Spriggses of the world, you know, and
right. How
he's got to come in and it's now or never. It's not quite to that point yet, but Josh Jones didn't have a great rookie season. He came in repping behind Kentrell Bryce as starting safety. It wasn't until Kentrell Bryce went down with the ankle injury that he really got those first team reps.
Right.
And he's looked up and down in practice. I mean, they've got to figure out, everyone wants to talk about the corners in the secondary. They've got to figure out the starting strong safety. And they've got, you know, I think they're in an ideal world for them, they would have Kentrell Bryce be there. But he's had injury issues. Yeah. And so Josh Jones, he's a guy that was drafted to do this. And I think it'll be interesting to see if he takes the reins and kind of goes with
it. You know what's been surprising to me is I haven't seen any flashes of the physicality from Josh Jones that we saw last spring and summer. Remember when he got drafted in that first spring? I remember one of the first minicamp practices last year. He knocked somebody in the dirt in a non-padded practice. And those first couple of days of practice in camp last year, he was really just laying the wood. And now, for whatever reason, and I understand they're trying to, like, it's a new system. They're bringing him along. You know, they're obviously trying to work with him in coverage, et cetera. They're trying to play him in space more to get him used to that, get him, I guess, better in that aspect of the game. But they really, his physicality seems to really have kind of just vanished. And that was, to me, one of the most exciting things about him coming out of college.
That's a great point. He was a blur in those spring OTAs as a rookie that you're mentioning. I mean, he was a blur on the field. He was all over the place, and he hasn't been the same. He did, in terms of a physicality standpoint, he did get into it with Jimmy Graham.
That's true.
Was that the first day of pads?
First day of pads, first day of pads, right.
Like one of their very first team reps in pads, he got into it with Jimmy Graham, which was interesting because Joe Witt, the secondary coach, could not break that up soon enough. Obviously, you've got a second-year guy in Josh Jones and a multi-time Pro Bowler in Jimmy Graham. It's not exactly a fair fight on paper, but there's been some of that. But no, I think the big thing with him is just the missed assignments. I mean, he's got to play clean.
Yeah,
yeah, you know? And that's what he struggled with as a rookie.
Yeah, big time. And hey, to his credit, though, this past offseason he was very forthcoming in that he recognized his poor play and he owned up to it. So that I give him credit for that. But I did expect to see him come out of the gate a little faster. And, you know, I'm thinking, I honestly would not be surprised if Marwin Evans made a play at some point this preseason. If he gets in these games and starts playing well, like, there's only so long you can wait for Josh Jones to get it. You know what I mean? To show that he can be assignment sure and that he can answer the bell down in and down out. And that certainly hasn't been the case early on in camp.
I'm with you, but I'll give you a different name. Jermaine Whitehead.
Yeah, they love him.
Coaching staff.
Yeah, they love him. Yeah, they do.
I mean, he's getting more and more first-team reps out there, and his versatility is one thing because he can go line up in the slot. But, I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised, especially with Jermaine Whitehead, if Kentrell Bryce can't stay healthy, which he's been back out at practice the past couple of days. He's been in pads. But he has not practiced. It's been kind of, you know, he hasn't taken team reps, and it's kind of just been on the sideline. That's a name for me to really watch because he's just getting a lot of first team reps, and some of the I think Packers fans will see this in a little bit in the preseason. I'll be curious how much they hide and how much they reveal, but some of the intricacies with their personnel and their sub package defenses, especially on the back end. With the secondary, it's going to be interesting to see how creative Mike Pettine gets. And part of that, I think, is to get more safeties and specifically a Jermaine Whitehead with his versatility on the field.
Hey, speaking of safeties and versatility and guys playing a lot of different positions, what do you make of what the Packers are doing with Quentin Rollins? Because they have played him pretty much everywhere but nose tackle at this point.
It seems like they're doing what fans were saying for at least a year to do, right? Like,
right.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I've seen, like, he should be a safety. He should be a safety. And they're finally playing him really as a safety in both the back end safety, the strong safety, but also that in the box, like, sub nickel linebacker type safety, that Morgan Burnett role that we've seen. And he's done both. I mean, I think that if you can minimize, look, an Achilles injury zaps your speed, and let's face it, Quentin Rollins didn't have any speed to zap
to
begin with.
Exactly.
So
and explosiveness. Absolutely.
Right. If you get in the middle of the field, in the box, close to the line of scrimmage, I think that minimizes the impact of that injury.
One would hope, I'm sure that's what the Packers are hoping. I don't know. It's interesting. They're clearly trying to get something out of the kid, trying to reclamation project, his career here. Let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball for a second, and let's look at the offensive line, because, you know, Rodgers kind of quipped at his locker yesterday that, you know, those tackles are going to get a lot of reps on Thursday night against the Titans. What do you think we're going to see from the likes of Byron Bell and, you know, Adam Pankey, guys who are because the first guys up are obviously going to be Kyle Murphy and Jason Spriggs. I think those guys have been well covered. We know what they can and can't do. It will be interesting to watch them. But to me, it's about who can become serviceable enough across the line of scrimmage. Because if you're a backup, you've got to be able to play multiple positions. We know Bell has done it throughout his career. Not well at tackle, but he's played both tackle and guard. But guys like Pankey, guys, you know, across the offensive line that are battling for spots. Those are the ones that I'm really interested in seeing.
You know, Byron Bell, he impressed me yesterday, Tuesday, in the one-on-ones. And that's a tough drill. It just is toughness. I mean, he was a lot to handle as a pass blocker. Now, can that translate when it's a lot different setting, right? Obviously, and
it's always been speed off the edge with him. It's a tackle. It's right. Always been speed off the edge. I think he's good in a phone booth, exactly. And I think he's good when guys try and, you know, bull rush him. It's just when guys try and go around him quickly, he really struggles with it.
Exactly, and he's not dealing, frankly, with a lot of great speed
right.
off the edge
exactly.
with this group of outside linebackers. And certainly, in terms of power, I think it was Byron Bell that pretty easily pushed aside Kyler Fackrell yesterday, who did not follow up on that stunning upset of David Bakhtiari, first day didn't pass one-on-ones.
Right.
Kind of reverted back to what we've seen over the past couple of years. But, you know, Byron Bell's a tough guy. You know, he's got that kind of that grizzly veteran. He's got to be able to, as you said, handle the speed, but I think he's got a chance. It'll be really interesting to watch him in the preseason. After that, I mean, I think Lucas Patrick is a guy that they like. He's played pretty well last year. Nothing special, but he gives you solid play. And
he can finally use both of his hands. So that's good.
He doesn't have a club on his hands. Yeah, but Dylan Day is the backup center.
What do you think of Day?
Have last year.
Right. What do you think of Day?
I think he fits their mold. He's
right?
not a guy that's going to knock your defensive tackles backward, but he's a really athletic guy.
Yeah.
So I think he could use a little more power, but he's got the athleticism that they want at that position with as much as they pass pro.
Yeah, and it's funny. They ran a couple of screen concepts. It wasn't yesterday, but a couple days ago. And that was when I went, oh, that's why they like him, because he can get out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you watch him move and you watch him get the snap of the ball to getting out beyond the hash. It's like he glides. It's pretty impressive. And he like hooked a guy and broke the, you know, running back for a big game. But like, I totally agree with you that the power certainly isn't there. But I mean, he is a quintessential Packers offensive lineman.
Well, especially from the center position.
Right.
Yeah, they need guys, you know. You'll find around the league centers that can really drive you backwards. That's just not their system. They understand what they are with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. They better keep the franchise clean. They better keep him away from contact, it's at least inside the pocket. Now, outside the pocket, as we've seen, it's up to Aaron Rodgers sometimes. But Dylan Day has the athleticism. You know, that's how Corey Linsley is built too. He's not going to push you back. But
right.
One, Corey Linsley's really smart, and they've given him. You asked yesterday. I thought it was a great question about just the added responsibilities, and they've given him added responsibilities now in the pre-snap communication phase.
Right.
But he's also really, really athletic, and that's what they like in their centers. And I think Dylan Day has that athleticism. You'd like to see him get stronger, but he fits what they're trying to do.
We would be remiss if we didn't speak on Aaron Rodgers' comments yesterday regarding the young wide receivers. I didn't want to lead with it because I know everybody's had like about 24 hours now to talk about it. But it is pretty fascinating. I will say that is the most, and it's not even that heated. Like, Rodgers doesn't get visibly upset too much. When we speak to him at the locker, he always goes into his little Zen routine because when he knows we're coming. But that, when he was motioning to the opposite side of the locker room and saying, 17, that's how you do it. 18, that's how it's done. When he was, you know, ticking off the pros in the room who do it the right way. That was about as heated as I've seen him get in a long time. I think the last time I saw him like that was when, you know, a couple years ago when everyone was writing articles about what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers and the offense was really not clicking. And he was talking,
That's a good point.
He was defending the offense or whatever it was. But that was the last time I saw him like that, where really almost demonstrative and visibly upset.
He was angry.
Yeah.
Until you mentioned that, I was actually wondering myself. And what I said immediately walking out of the locker room yesterday is, I don't know the last time I've seen Aaron Rodgers that angry.
And
he was. I mean, he was still fuming. You know, let's not forget how practice ended yesterday with him chucking the football at the dummies.
That was crazy.
Screw this.
No, I've never seen that. That definitely caught your eye.
It was 20 minutes later, and he hadn't cooled off yet. He was angry with how the young guys and he also, as angry as he was, he still articulated the point really well, which is, it's just scout team, but this is their opportunity to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the 10-day contract guy in the NBA getting to play with LeBron.
Yep.
And showing what he can do and that he deserves a shot. So these fringe roster guys getting that many snaps with him to not be able to read a card that has the play, that has the terminology, that shows you exactly where to go, which is something that past high school you really should, you know, past JV, you really shouldn't struggle with.
Right.
That's why he was upset. It was a wasted opportunity. So, I thought it was very interesting. And also kind of peeling back the curtains into his mind a little bit, because Aaron Rodgers, and I think we all kind of knew this already, but he is someone who will name drop guys in the press.
Oh, yeah.
He will specifically
for a reason. People. For a reason. Always.
Yeah, and he said it yesterday. Yeah. He highlights guys on purpose. Mm-hmm. It's deliberate. It's not by accident, which takes you back to he really, really, really wants Jake Kumerow to make this team.
Yes, he does. Well, what was interesting, too, is that he said, you know, Gmo, Yancey's come on, and Kumerow are progressing. Yep. So that lets you know right there that he's particularly kind of pointing at the three draft picks. You know, when you're looking at, you know, Jamon Moore, who I thought had a really good start to camp and has kind of trailed off a little bit. Then obviously Valdez-Scantling and St. Brown. And I think St. Brown has come on, but that's one of those things where you see St. Brown catching all these balls. And I think someone even asked Aaron about it yesterday. He's been a little bit more productive lately. But that's not the whole piece. You know, that's not the whole puzzle. Like, there are so many other things that they are privy to. Like, they're going back and they're watching the tape and they know the adjustments that are supposed to be made, etc., that we don't know about. And it's pretty clear Rodgers is sick and tired of these guys making the same mistakes over and over and over again.
You know, it was interesting to hear Jim Hostler, the pass game coordinator on offense, after Aaron Rodgers spoke, because like you said, Jarama Allison, D'Angelo Yancey, Jake Kumerow, the three guys that he decided to highlight, and frankly, I wouldn't even put Jarama Allison in the Yancey Kumerow category, because I think he's clearly established himself as the number three.
I agree.
He's been incredibly solid in camp.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really much question at all about that spot with Jarama Allison.
Yeah, the idea that shown. I agree. The idea that someone might, like, that there's some kind of camp battle going on there, or that someone might usurp that position, I think is a bit laughable.
But those three guys are not in their first training camp. The three rookies are.
Right.
And so to hear Jim Hostler kind of explain that, you know, Jake Kumerow's been around a couple of years. He's had a few training camps in Cincinnati. He's a guy that should get it. That's something that the rookies have to learn. And the inconsistencies, primarily with Jamon Moore and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, that you've seen being up and down and learning how to be pros, that's something that those other three have already learned. They already know how to be pros, and they already know what it means to be a pro in August when you're trying to impress coaches, when you're trying to earn a roster spot, although Jahrome Allison's more than earned his. So the divide, to me, that doesn't mean that the rookies aren't going to get it. It's that they haven't yet. And so the fact that Aaron Rodgers chose not to mention them, and that was the glaring, the silence was deafening.
Mm.
The fact that he chose not to do that, that was a clear sign of you guys need to figure this out, primarily because they need them to figure this out. The Packers need those rookies to come along because they won't be relying on them this fall.
Okay, give me your power ranking. Sitting here, what is it, August 8th? August 8th. What are your power rankings? The three drafted wide receivers, 1 through 3, most likely to make the team. Go.
Jamon Moore, Equanimeous St. Brown, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
We are.
I'll say this:
we're in complete agreement. I was hoping to like kind of argue with you about it, but I that's exactly where I have it right now.
Well, I'm curious of the three. Maybe I don't know if you'll see it the same as me with this. Of the three, I do think the highest upside is Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
I could see that. I don't know. I just. He drops way too many
he's
balls.
He's so big and fast.
He is. He absolutely is. He is. He's fun to watch, but man, he drops like every other pass thrown to him.
You're right.
Which is
why I don't think he's going to make the team.
Exactly. But, you know. It's so frustrating because, like you say, it's so tantalizing from an athletic standpoint, but good mercy does he drop a lot of footballs.
I think he's the most raw right now.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I mean, of the three, he's the guy that will make some plays that will make your
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, that make
like,
you turn.
Whoa.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Where'd that come from?
Although I will say, I think that touchdown catch Jahrome Moore had during family night from Rodgers, that piqued my interest because, you know, Rodgers gave him a contested 50-50 there, and he just went up and got it. And that's big.
It was good.
Yeah, definitely.
It was good.
Definitely.
Now, of course, Jahrome Moore dropped to...
Oh, yeah.
Out
yeah. Earlier in that same practice. Absolutely. But it's going to be fun to watch. They're going to take the field Thursday night there at Lambeau. Ryan, I can't thank you enough. We'll have to do this again soon. Thanks so much for
Definitely.
Joining me here on Nagler's Never Right.
Awesome. Absolutely. Take care.